You are listening to Pastor Talk.
Okay, so from what I've heard from other people in children's ministry, a lot of us are hired out of desperation and maybe go into it hearing, we just need you to keep the boat afloat. And if we don't hear anything at all, that's good. And that is a terrible way to start a job.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Durden. Welcome to Pastor Talk. Thanks for joining me today. My guest is Sarah Hughes. Sarah is the children's minister at First Baptist Church at The Village in Old Hickory, Tennessee. Sarah has a passion for seeing potential realized, taking church outside where the action is. Exclamation point. When not focused on children's ministry, Sarah, her husband, and two daughters enjoy making zombie survival plans. You heard that right. Drive-in movies and just being outside. Sarah is a great, great friend. And I'm ecstatic to have her on Pastor Talk today. Here's Sarah and my conversation. I am so glad to welcome one of my good friends, Sarah Hughes, onto the podcast today. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, Marty.
Why don't you, did you just call me Mark?
No, I did not. I said Marty.
I think
but
you said
I
Mark.
But I didn't put much emphasis on the syllable.
No, you, man, that hurt. Sorry. Already. Already. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Got to throw that in with a big roll tide. I've lived in the Nashville area for about 9 years. Have been in children's ministry for 6 years and have just recently started at a new church, FBC, at The Village in Old Hickory, Tennessee.
Now, do y'all call it FBC?
We do.
Okay, so you don't call it First Baptist Church.
Nope.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. So are you full-time now or still
part-time? I am not. I'm part-time.
Okay, so you've been part-time children's minister, director, pastor your entire time in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I remember your story right, you didn't like launch out of high school into children's ministry and Bible college and all that kind of
Absolutely
thing,
right? Absolutely not. Okay. Not at all.
So how did you get into children's ministry?
Well, so my big dream of being an orthopedic surgeon did not work out.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Well, you know, my back is hurting a little bit.
I am so a relational person, and I don't like details. So that is not a good thing to do in orthopedic surgery.
God answered somebody's prayer.
So I thought I would do nursing school, and I'm really not a great caregiver either. So obviously, children's ministry is for me. No, I'm kidding. I love planning and programming rec and backpacking trips and kayaking trips. And that's what I did all through college. And I thought I would get my master's in rec management and open my own outdoor trip thing.
Yeah.
Or
like
direct
Sarah's Kayak Company next
Absolutely.
To the Nantahala River or something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, I could do like the director of a YMCA or something like that, a college rec center. And thankfully, my husband's really smart and had a great job. And I was just out here doing whatever. And then I just felt like God was saying, quit. Just stop. You're being dumb. And just be a wife and a mother and take care of your family for now. And then about 2 weeks later, I got asked by our church to volunteer in our preschool ministry. I had a preschooler at the time. And I just fell in love with it. And then I started being on the praise team with our children's ministry there because I love to dance and sing. And then when the children's minister resigned, she suggested me take her job, and I had no idea that was going to happen.
So 6 years on, what are some of the challenges you've faced as a part-timer that may be applicable to folks who are full-time as well? And what's the biggest challenge that you've faced doing children's ministry?
Okay, so from what I've heard from other people in children's ministry, a lot of us are hired out of desperation.
Okay.
And maybe go into it hearing, we just need you to keep the boat afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't hear anything at all, that's good. And that is a terrible way to start a job. It really is. And for about a year, I did that. I filled in the rotation schedule, and I made sure the curriculum was ready, and I cut and pasted and made sure all the stuff was ready just to get through Sunday and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not our calling. Our calling is to parents and children and your volunteers. And so when you get so wrapped up in the busyness, which is actually the easier part of the job, I can cut and paste all day long.
Mm-hmm.
and And that's easy. But the people part is the important part. So after a year of running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to do all these things, I realized what my priorities have to be. And that if it's not something that only I can do, I got to enlist somebody else to do it. And they're probably waiting on me to ask them.
So a lot of our listeners are smaller church pastors. So we'll have a bunch of listeners who are pastoring in churches that are like up to 100 or maybe up to 150 in attendance. So most of these are not going to have full-time children's pastors. Mm-hmm. Most of them are going to be either part-time or volunteer. So what have you found out that does and doesn't work when you're trying to recruit volunteers to help be what? So let's just say it's a children's church where it's the children's director and four or five people that are helping out.
Okay.
Up to, in your last church at least, you had a pretty complex operation where you had 40 or 50 volunteers.
Right.
Even though the church wasn't humongous,
right,
you had a large and thriving children's ministry. What are some of the pros and cons, difficulties and not difficulties, and what does and doesn't work when you're recruiting leaders?
So I have literally never been successful with a blanket statement from the stage or in the bulletin, a little blurb.
You mean see Sarah after church doesn't work?
Yes. Or, hey, guys, we need some help in the nursery. Come see me afterward. That just shows that I'm desperate. And I'm going to get people that are only coming because they think I'm desperate and they're only going to give me exactly what...
Desperation's worth
gonna,
of energy.
Yeah, they're going to give me a warm body in a room. And that is not what you want on your team. That just creates more problems. And so for me, it's just about constantly thinking, is this somebody that could be on my team? Do we hit it off really well? Do we work well together? Is there something that I see in them that maybe they don't see in themselves yet and that I can help them see and the potential that can be revealed? So my husband and I have kind of a team approach to this. He is always stationed at our check-in desk because he is there to get the dads on board.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can get a 30-year-old dad excited about the children's ministry, you've got the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So we invite them to dinner. If he notices someone that seems excited or he saw like a little glimmer of hope in them that this could be cool, then we'll have him over for dinner. I'd ask the mom out for coffee after the kids are asleep. So I do my best recruiting like at 9 p.m. at Starbucks. But we just become friends. And you have to know somebody personally to be able to do ministry with them. And you have to know their giftings. And you don't know their giftings if you just see them once a month.
So that's actually easier to do in a smaller church situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be difficult for a really large church.
Yeah. What have you seen in the churches where you've ministered that you would say are your biggest wins? And by that, I don't just mean bigger groups of kids coming or more kids coming at different times of the week or whatever, but parents responding when they see what's happening to their kids. So maybe you've got parents who not from a church background, not believers necessarily, but they brought their kids for whatever reason. Kids
right.
have gotten involved, or you've reached out into a school or something and met a kid. And a parent has responded because they've seen. Any stories like that?
Absolutely. So in Old Hickory Village, where our church is, it's really like its own little microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a world within a world. And it's so different than anywhere I've ever been.
If I can interrupt just a second. For those of you who are not familiar with Old Hickory, Tennessee, and I would venture to say that's going to be upward of 99%.
Yes.
It was a mill village type of village. So it was an employees village, employees community for, was it DuPont or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, DuPont. Mm-hmm.
For probably decades, many years ago. So there was a DuPont plant. We would call it a subdivision, but if you're familiar, if you're in a small town and you remember the mill villages, it's very similar. A lot of similar type houses, small streets, small lots, that kind of thing. And so over the last, I don't know, is DuPont even still there?
Very little.
Okay.
Very,
so,
very little.
So the big day of thousands of workers is long gone. The
right.
village was no longer supporting the workers. And so there was a transition in the demographic of Old Hickory Village. So that's where Sarah is ministering. And so when she says that it's varied, that's why.
Right. Well, so literally on my first day at the church, I got to the church hours before our Wednesday night program started. And there were a line of kids waiting at the door for me to unlock it because we can walk everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So parents just sent their kids walk into church. And these parents, they don't know basic preschool Bible stories that
mm-hmm.
we would all think of, Noah's Ark. And we're past the times of people just come to church because they come to church. Yeah. So we, what I've tried to do is just invite the parents to stay and to hear what I'm teaching, and doing that on, you know, I need your help. But really, I just want them to hear what I'm saying and get them to get excited about it. But one of my favorite things is a little boy. He's been coming to the church for 8 years. His parents had never come in the doors,
so
ever.
He predates you by 7.5 years then, right?
Yes. He's been coming for 8 years, and his parents had never gotten involved at all. Well, I ran into his mom on the sidewalk, and she was asking me questions about me, because she had never met me, and about what I'm trying to do. So I was trying to be, like, advocate for children's ministry and for our church. And then I invited her to our house on a Monday night, because I have a women's Bible study at my house on Monday nights. And we talked about Noah's Ark and what the promise of the rainbow meant. And she was like, my son has told me about this and I never understood it. And then she went home and there was a rainbow over their house.
Oh, okay.
I mean, hello. Thank you, God. And so she called me and she said, I just taught my kid the first thing about God. I've never taught them anything about God. And then she taught her husband about the, like, we have hope because Jesus came and God is never going to destroy the whole earth again without giving us a rescue. And that's Jesus. And then the husband, who is this artist, this phenomenal, creates this thing to make rainbows in their house.
Wow.
So they can remember this all the time. And now that mom and dad are fantastic volunteers with me every single Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And they can tell me who wrote all the gospels and who their audience were. And it was intended for the Jews because of this. And I mean, that's just happening over and over. And it's because we're making it real. Like, the Bible is applicable to us today, and they just don't know it.
Right.
So we've got to make it real.
In your current ministry, in the transitional area, what are some ideas that you've had or things that you're trying to reach the kids who haven't yet been inside? So the kid who hasn't been coming for 7.5 years, but he's at the playground or he's at the, you guys have a ball field, soccer or football or something?
Yes.
Close by too.
Mm-hmm.
And then a school is in there. Is it an elementary?
Both.
Okay.
Elementary and middle school.
Okay. So what are some of the things that you've tried or you've got kind of on the drawing board to try for those kids that haven't yet been onto your property?
Well, I've learned that the village that where we live is very, very about community. They have community everything's community, like the things that you see like in Stars Hollow and Gilmore Girls, that actually happens in Old Hickory Village.
I'm sorry, I have no idea what that means.
Go to Netflix, watch the Gilmore Girls.
I think I'm going to pass on that.
You would love it. But like the Christmas tree lighting, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And caroling through the neighborhood, even though they don't know what they're singing about,
right,
they do it. And so instead of recreating what is already happening, like there's 5 different churches in the village and they all 5 will do a different Easter egg hunt at a different time on the same day, and nobody comes, but they go to the community Easter egg hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of doing our own Easter egg hunt this year, we're just partnering with a community Easter egg hunt, and they're absolutely all about it. And going into schools, if you have access into the schools, go, because a lot of people don't have that luxury. And thankfully, the principal at the elementary school where we are will send home flyers about anything that we do.
That's awesome.
Will let me come in and eat lunch anytime. It can't be, you know, Jesus written all over
right. The
paper, but she'll send home anything. And the middle school, they need so much help. And so anytime I can go in and be a part of that, it's just about people seeing my face and knowing that I actually really do care about these kids and their families. And I'm going to get outside of my office and show them love.
Is going into the school something that you foresee your church organizing to do at some point? I'm not trying to put words in your pastor's mouth, but if you're doing it already, then there's an open door. And I didn't know, is that something you're kind of thinking, maybe we get a team involved in this at some point in the future?
Absolutely. There's also a community center that does free after-school care for 120 kids.
Wow.
And they're phenomenal, but they need so much help. And so anybody from our church that we can send, we send. And they'll just talk to the kids. And again, we can hand out stuff about our church that's going on there. And parents, they need help. I mean, parents don't know how to be parents anymore because nobody really taught us. And so anything that we can do to help them, the parents are just like, yes, we need help.
What are kids going through today? What are preschoolers up to fifth grade? I'm not sure where the break is around here school-wise, but what are they going through? I mean, you hear stories about kids that don't get breakfast and that kind of thing. And so a kid shows up on a normal day. What's his day been like? And a normal Sunday, what's her week been like? What's going on in kids' lives?
Well, there's not a lot of hope. Behind closed doors, even in suburban Nashville, it's sad. Mm-hmm. And a lot of single parent families, a lot of unemployment, a lot of families in the Village don't have heating and air. They have aluminum foil covering all their windows to try to preserve all the heat they can. There's a lot of substance abuse, mm-hmm. a lot. Just not making wise decisions financially. Don't have a lot of hope. And so not just parenting, but life skills they need. Mm. So
this affects the kids.
Absolutely. Mm. Seeing a kid run to church and know that, and they know that there's a consistent person there that loves them and that I can have constant joy no matter what my circumstances are. That is huge. And I've had a mom come up to me, and I invited her to stay during church one Wednesday night, and she said, "Why are you filling my kid's head with so much false hope? Her life is going to suck. She needs to know that now."
A parent really said that?
A parent told me that.
Wow.
They do not celebrate birthdays. They do not celebrate holidays because her life's going to be terrible.
Wow.
So I told her, I believe that we have this hope, and this is what our church believes, and this is what we're going to talk about every week, and you're welcome to come and talk to me anytime, but we're going to share this every single week. But that is what parents are thinking. Like, our life is going to stink. The Bible, that doesn't apply to me today. How can I actually use that today? So just sharing hope.
So you've been on staff at two churches in a part-time capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about staff dynamics and lead pastor or executive pastor, or whoever might be the oversight person for a children's director or a children's minister, or children's pastor. What's something that a supervisor, let's just use that word, what's something that the supervisor for the children's director or the children's pastor needs to be aware of on a regular basis that children's pastor or minister might be going through?
I think children's ministry today, if done right, can leave you heavy-hearted every single day.
Okay.
And so for me, knowing that I matter,
mm-hmm.
And that I have somebody I can share these things with the senior pastor, that the children's ministry matters. And something that's great that our church does, and just bring the kids in, and we can, anytime on a Sunday, if I want to bring the kids up and share something that's happened, we get to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are on stage and visible, and that excitement spreads in your church. And so I think not keeping the children's ministry pushed into the back corner where if we don't hear anything, that's good.
Yeah.
You want to hear things out of the children's ministry. If you're not hearing anything, that's bad. You want your children's ministry to be thriving and exciting and not just about the kids. Because, I mean, kids can see through fakeness.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that this is real. Kids today don't need a craft every day. For the love, save the paper and give them something real. and invest in. I think for a lead pastor to know the importance of children's ministry, to share that with the whole church, and to let your children's minister know that you are there and that you're going to invest in them, and you want to train them and you want to equip them to do what God's called them to do.
And what about the parents in the church who have kids in children's ministry? What do they need to know about their children's pastor?
That they do so much more than you think they do. My daughter, my oldest is 10, and she has been with me in churches since she was born. And somebody the other day picked her up. They were helping me out, pick her up from an event. And they said, "You're so lucky that your mom gets to be with you all the time. And she teaches you on Sunday morning. And she has such a great job." And my daughter goes, "My mom has the hardest job on the whole planet. And she works all the time. And she's always thinking about your kids." And part of me was like, yeah. But no, children's...
Extra ice cream for you.
Yeah. But no, children's ministers do more than you ever know. And a hug or a note or sharing something that your kid has learned from them is huge. It's huge.
So, say a word to the children's pastor who got this podcast episode sent to them by a loving parent or a sympathetic lead pastor. Say a word to the children's pastors who are listening.
You matter. There are so many things that only you can do. And if it's not something only you can do, invest in someone else and equip them to do it. There is a mom sitting at home who has just sent her youngest child to school, and she feels like she has no purpose during the day anymore because her house is empty, and she wants a friend and she wants a purpose. Get to know your parents, get to know your team, and you can do it. And I love you. I do.
All right. I've been talking to Sarah Hughes, who is one of my favorite people in the world. And I'm a little disappointed that her hair's not flaming pink, which it has been.
It has been.
In times past. It's just kind of a, I don't know, what color is that? Chevrolet would call it, what, burgundy?
I'm calling it a deep Merlot.
Okay, so it's the color of Kool-Aid. I mean, just sure. Get that, yeah. No, Sarah is usually of the wild hair preferences, color-wise, not design-wise. But she's a dear friend to me and our family, and we love her to death and are so thankful that she was able to be on Pastor Talk today. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you, because that's what we want to do, is gift you and equip you and encourage you to lead your flocks well. And we certainly don't want to leave out the children and the children's pastors, because they carry a huge weight and make a huge impact. Thanks for listening. Until next time, this is Marty Duren for Pastor Talk. Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duren. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duren.